Well, today we're coming to the end of our little series going through Two Ways to Live, which is this outline of the Christian message using these six boxes on your sheet there. We're up to box six, so bottom right. And before I look at that with us, I'll lead us in prayer. Lord God, we thank you for the gospel that we've been looking at over the past few weeks of the death and resurrection of your Son. And we pray that we would be those who respond in the way that you demand to this good news. And we pray this for our eternal good and for your glory. Amen. Well, on January the 20th, our car wouldn't start, so I called out the AA. And the AA guy came round and he diagnosed what was wrong. And he left a sheet that I got here that has some clear instructions written out. And it says this. It says, battery needs replacing, car needs full service, ASAP. Two things. Next day, I got the battery replaced, and the car worked again. So I thought, you know what? A full service is just going to cost a lot of money. Don't need it. Works fine. Almost exactly a month later, this is February 19, we were driving down to Lyme Regis on the coast for a half-time break as a family. And we got there, and we're going down this steep hill to the car park on the seafront. And suddenly, the car cut out. It came to an abrupt stop. And it just wouldn't start. And so I called out the AA again. Different guy this time, thankfully. And he lifted the bonnet, and first thing he did was to check the oil. And he found out that not only was there no oil, not a single drop, but there clearly hadn't been any oil in there for a very long time. As a result, the engine had seized, which is the mechanical equivalent of heart failure. The car was dead. It's game over. Either you need a new engine or a new car. Ignoring instructions can be a very costly business. The instructions couldn't have been clearer. New battery and full service ASAP. But, you know, I thought I knew better. So I did one and I ignored the other. And the consequences are eye-wateringly expensive. What is true of instructions from the AA is even more true of instructions from God. Thinking you know best and ignoring them is not very clever. And with God, the consequences are eternal. Over the past week, we've been looking at the gospel. Now, the gospel is the good news of what God has done in history in the death and resurrection of Jesus. So 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, Paul reminds us of the gospel he preached, that Christ died for our sins, and he was raised on the third day. These Jesus events are the good news. Christ died for our sins, and he was raised to rule as Lord. So the good news, the gospel, is boxes 4 and 5 on that outline there. Boxes 1 to 3, the top row, that isn't the gospel. That's explaining why we need the gospel. Boxes 4 and 5 sum up what the gospel actually is. But how should we respond to the gospel? Well, that's box 6. So the gospel is what God has done in Jesus. And what do we now need to do in response? What are God's instructions to us? Jesus says in Mark 1:15, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. So two things he says we need to do. We need to repent, we need to believe. What I'm going to call on the sheet there, to turn and to trust, and we'll look at them in reverse order. So firstly, the believing bit. In response to the good news of Christ's death and resurrection, God calls us to believe, to have faith, same thing. So Romans 1:16, references at the bottom. The gospel, it says, is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. Romans 5:1, since we have been justified by faith. But what does it mean to believe? What does it mean to have faith? If someone asks you, do you have faith? A good reply would be, faith in what? It's like someone asking you, do you trust? Do you rely? Trust in what? Rely on what? Key thing about faith is what your faith is in. Sometimes when people wander in to the barge during the week, tourists and so on, for a look, in chatting to them, they'll say things like, oh, I don't go to church, but I do believe. I've always believed. What do they mean? Believe in what? Are they just saying they believe God exists? Well, even the devil believes that. John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. We are to believe in Jesus. But what does it mean to believe in Jesus, to have faith in Jesus? Again, it can't just mean to believe that he existed, even the devil believes that. Well, Jesus said in Mark 1:15, repent and believe in the gospel. So we are to believe, we are to trust in the good news about Jesus, that he died for our sins and he was raised to rule. Two things. So firstly, I need to trust in Jesus as my rescuer. Box 4 of Two Ways to Live, we looked at the good news of the death of Jesus for us. Christ died for sins, once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us to God. God now calls each of us to trust in and receive Jesus personally as my rescuer, who died for me, for my sins, so that I might be forgiven. So it's basically taking that famous passage, Isaiah 53, and putting your own name into it. Jesus was wounded for my transgressions. Jesus was crushed for my iniquities. But believing in Jesus is more than that, because the gospel is more than that. The gospel is boxes 4 and 5. Jesus didn't just die for our sins, he was raised to rule. It's both. If we don't get the gospel right, we won't get the response right. So the shape of a lock determines the shape of a key that you need to stick in and open it. And so the shape of the gospel determines the shape of our response through which we enter into God's kingdom. We saw last week that through the resurrection, Jesus is declared to be Lord. Acts 5:31, God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior. 2 Peter 1:11 speaks of the eternal kingdom of our Lord and savior, Jesus Christ. So he's both. He's both rescuer and ruler. And so believing in him means receiving him as my ruler and not just as my rescuer. Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. 103 times in the New Testament, Jesus is called the Lord Jesus. Lord is a title, it's used of God himself, the Lord God, and it means the master, the ruler. So in the Greek dictionary, if you look it up, it defines Lord, the Greek word kurios, as one who is in charge by virtue of possession, i.e. the owner, or one who is in a position of authority, i.e. the Lord, the master. Jesus is Lord. And so I need to receive it personally as my Lord, over me, over my life. Becoming a Christian involves a change of government. It's about being under new management. The authorities in Acts 17, verse 7, they say of the early Christians, they're acting against the decrees of Caesar. They're saying there is another king, Jesus. The gospel is the good news about the kingdom of God, in which Jesus is king. So becoming a Christian is about receiving Jesus personally as your rescuer who died for you and as your ruler who was raised to be your Lord and King. It is a fundamental reorientation of life with Jesus at the center, living for him, obeying him, loving and serving him. If I'm allowed a football example, Leicester City Football Club, talk of the town at the moment, top of the Premier League with only a couple of months to go till the end of the season. Some years ago, a Thai businessman, a billionaire, he bought the club. And having bought the club, he wiped out the club's debts, which stood at a pretty hefty £103 million. Becoming the owner, ruling the club, and paying off the debts, rescuing the club, they went together as a package. And it's the same with Jesus. It is in becoming our owner that he wipes out the debt of our sins. And you can't have one without the other. So there's no forgiveness of sins without change of management. I think there are maybe at least two ways that people get this wrong. The first way is to basically skip over box 5. So it's just box 4. You know, Jesus died for your sins. Box 5, it's just sort of confirming the death worked. So go straight to box 6 Accept that and you're in. Pick up your forgiveness check on the way out. See you in heaven. That is not the gospel. And it's criminal because it leaves people with false assurance. That is, thinking they're saved when actually they're not. The right response to the gospel is receiving Jesus as your rescuer and your ruler. It's both. The second way people maybe get this wrong is to make receiving Jesus as rescuer and ruler as two separate and distinct stages. Receive Jesus now as your rescuer who died for you, and you're in. And then at some point, maybe even years later, you can perhaps work up to receiving him as your ruler. It's like, you know, progressing on to level 2 of some video game. Sometimes people do this because they maybe think that being saved by grace, it must mean that there are no demands on us. Or sometimes people do it because they want to make it as easy as possible for people to become Christians. Don't want to put them off. So let's play down the rule a bit. Or just leave it out for now. Sign here, let's get you in, and then, you know, we'll worry about the details later. But we're deceiving people if we do that, and we're deceiving ourselves if we think we can have Jesus as rescuer, but not ruler. God's instructions are very clear, he's both. And it is madness to do what I did with the AA man, and to think, well, you know what, I know best, I'll take my chances. I'll do one bit of what he says, but I'll ignore the other bit. As they say in the marriage service, what God has joined together, let no one separate. Both are essential from the outset. A week on Sunday, March 20, we've got a woman here on the barge called Nicole who's going to be baptized. And her baptism will symbolize two things. Being washed clean of her sins in the water, and then also dying to the old life and then being raised to a new life with Jesus as Lord. It's both from the start. And she'll be asked before she's baptized, do you turn to Christ as Savior? Do you submit to Christ as Lord? It is both from the start. If that's faith, then what about repentance? Jesus said, repent and believe in the gospel. And Paul said in Acts 20:21 that he had testified of repentance towards God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. What does the repentance bit mean? Well, repentance and faith are two sides of the same coin. So faith is the positive and repentance is the negative. Our English word repentance translates a Hebrew word shuv, which means to turn. And then in the New Testament, it translates a Greek word metanoia, which means a change of mind and a change of behavior that flows from that. So repentance is about turning. We need to turn and to trust. Imagine one Saturday morning, I'm in the car, once it's fixed, heading out to IKEA on the A13. If I repent, I have a change of mind and I turn around. The change of mind says, this is crazy. This is sheer madness. What am I doing? IKEA on a Saturday morning is going to be crazy. It's going to be heaving. The world and his wife will be there. I've got better things to do with my weekend. And that change of mind leads to action, a change of behavior. I turn the car around and I head back home in the opposite direction. That is what repenting of going to IKEA involves, and I heartily recommend it. God tells us we need to repent. But repent of what? Well, two things. Firstly, I need to repent of not trusting in Jesus as my rescuer. To turn from that wrong way. Some people think they don't need Jesus' rescue. They think they can get right with God through their own good works, their own religious activities. Repentance is a change of mind. Seeing that that is a wrong way to think. And turning from trusting in your own works to trusting in Jesus as your rescuer. Now that's why faith and works are constantly contrasted in the New Testament as ways of trying to get right with God. Galatians 2:16, a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. Or Philippians 3:9, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. So the mine rescue in Chile back in 2010, this film, The 33, about it at the moment. Those 33 men trapped underground, They had to accept that they could not get themselves out of that situation by their own efforts. So they could not dig through 700 meters of soft granite. They needed rescue from the outside, rescue from above. The only way for each of those men was to step into that rescue capsule, the Phoenix capsule, that had been lowered down that escape shaft the team on the surface had drilled. And so we need to turn, to repent, to turn from our own attempts to dig ourselves out, and to accept this rescue God provided in Jesus. So some need to turn from their pride, their self-righteousness, thinking they can dig themselves out. Others need to turn from their despair, thinking that there is no way out, there is no hope, because they don't make the grade and they're not good enough. They need to repent of their despair and see that God's rescue is for all people, including them, however much they've messed up in life, and don't make the grade. So repentance, it's turning from not trusting in Jesus as my rescuer, but it's also turning from not living with Jesus as my ruler. To turn from that wrong way, from a life of self-rule, and from the sins that flow from that. So repentance means a change of life and behavior. Isaiah 55:7, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Ezekiel 18:30 says, repent and turn from all your transgressions. Turn and live. Acts 3:26, God sent Jesus to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness. And so in the baptism service, in a couple of weeks' time, the candidate will be asked, do you repent of your sins that separate us from God and neighbor? And she will answer, I repent of them. Repentance is turning from our sins to God. So it's a relational thing. Acts 26:20, they should repent and turn to God, performing deeds in keeping with repentance. 1 Thessalonians 1:9 says, you turned to God, it's relational, from idols, to serve the living and true God. So it's a relational thing. It's turning from our sins to God and living differently. As Matthew 3:8 puts it, bearing fruit in keeping with repentance. So four things that repentance is not. Repentance is not optional. We must repent. Jesus said he came to call sinners to repent. Jesus sent out his disciples and they proclaimed that people should repent. Peter said that God wants all to reach repentance. There is no salvation without repentance. So I can't just say a prayer asking for forgiveness and just carry on living my old sinful life, what's sometimes called easy believism. I can't just get Jesus into my life to give me a bit of peace, a bit of spirituality, but keep my sins. I can't just make excuses for my sins and say, well, it's just the way I am, it's part of my cultural background. We can't just tell people that they've got a hole in their life that Jesus can fill and bring satisfaction. People need to be confronted with their sins and the need to turn from them. Otherwise, we give people false assurance. They think they're saved when they're not. Like the people in Deuteronomy 29:19 who say, I'll be safe, though I persist in going my own way. Secondly, repentance is not just feeling sorry. It's taking action. 2 Corinthians 7:10 says, godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation. If a husband is committing adultery, he may feel very sorry. He may regret the harm that he's doing to his wife and his children, but he carries on nevertheless. That is not repentance. Feeling sorry is not repentance. Repentance is stopping our sinful behavior and turning from it. And it is the only godly response to sin. And so if you're aware of some sin in your life, you must repent. You must turn from it. Thirdly, repentance is not separate from faith. Repentance and faith are basically one movement. In turning to Christ, we turn away from our own way. It's a little bit like a golf swing. I don't know if any of you play golf. I don't. But I've looked this up online, and I've learned that you can basically break down the golf swing into its constituent parts. So you've got the setup, which is this business where you sort of wiggle around a bit, and then you've got the backswing, then the downstroke, then you've got the sort of contact bit, then the follow-through, then the sort of slip the disc bit. And it's all, it's, you can analyze it, but it's basically one movement. It is the same with repentance and faith. So repentance is not a sort of work that we do first to make ourselves acceptable to God. That's what the medieval church basically taught about repentance. It became the doctrine of penance. The idea was about making satisfaction to God for your sins. And then God sort of gave you forgiveness in exchange for your repentance. So essentially, repentance was the price you paid for forgiveness. That is not right. Repentance is just the flip side of faith. And fourthly, repentance is not a one-off. Repentance and faith is how the Christian life begins and how it goes forward. So as Martin Luther said in the first of those 95 theses that he nailed up on the door in Wittenberg, he said, when our Lord and Master Jesus Christ said, repent, he intended that the entire life of believers should be repentance. Jesus taught that in the end there are just two ways to live. There is our way and there is God's way. By nature we are on our own way, we're on the broad road leading to destruction. If we continue on that road, it will lead to death and to eternal judgment. God calls us to turn off that road and to start going his way, and so enjoy forgiveness and eternal life. How do we switch roads? Well, by repenting and believing in Jesus. By turning and trusting. By turning from our own way of thinking and living to a new life of trusting in Jesus as our rescuer and ruler. How do you start doing that? How would you explain that to somebody? What would somebody say to God? Well, sorry, thank you, please, is a pretty good summary. Sorry. Lord, I'm sorry for having gone my own way, for having ignored your rescue and your rule. I recognize boxes 1 to 3 are true of me. And I turn from that now. Sorry. Thank you. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for my sins and be raised to rule. I believe boxes 4 and 5. And I now put my trust in Jesus as my rescuer and my ruler. Sorry, thank you, please. Please accept me and forgive me. And please change me and help me by your Holy Spirit to live with Jesus as my rescuer and ruler. You see, in the end, repentance and faith are gifts from God, and so we need to ask him for them. To be born again, we need him to give us life by his Holy Spirit. Is that it? Prayer in my bedroom. Well, God calls us to affirm our repentance and faith publicly by getting baptized or reaffirming the vows made on your behalf as a child. So Acts 2:38 says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. But such a prayer, such a public ceremony, it's not like taking out an insurance policy. You do it, you file it, you carry on as you were. It's a bit more like getting married. It is the start of a new life. Although there are just these two ways to live, we will fall into maybe one of three categories of people. Firstly, those who have repented and believed. If that is us, we need to keep on living that out each day. A bit like a husband or a wife, living out their marriage vows each day. Secondly, there are those who haven't repented and believed. Well, this is what you need to do to be saved. But thirdly, on the same broad road, there will be a third category of people, those who have, if we could put it this way, have made half a response. You assume you're forgiven through Christ's death, maybe prayed a prayer of commitment at some point in the past, but there's been no change of management. There's been no change of life. There's been no turning from sin. There's been no accepting Jesus as Lord. Could I put it to you that I think you're making the same mistake that I made with the AA? And the Bible is saying that unless you repent, as with our car, things are not going to end well. Well, I'm going to pray for us, then we've got a couple of minutes for questions you may want to come back with. Lord God, we thank you for this good news of Jesus, of his death for our sins and his resurrection to rule. And we pray that we would be those who respond in the way that you have commanded, in repentance and faith in him. And we pray this for his glory and for our eternal salvation. In his name, amen.